Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, I was thinking about this before the show, not to spoil it for the listeners, but I do already know how you are. And I'm starting to feel like I should ask a different question at the start of these episodes, because maybe that will be the solve that will put the world back in alignment.
It could be.
But I guess for now, I'll ask you, how are you?
I got to ride in an ambulance again. This time, because Dad's blood pressure was dangerously low, and anytime he would stand up or even just sit on the bed, he was about to faint.
I have to say, I think you said it a couple weeks ago, or that your friend said it to you, that you're expecting to have a piano dropped on you. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
It's really, if it's not one thing, it's another.
It just keeps on going. And it's like the great Steve Smashmouth once said, and they don't stop coming and they don't stop coming.
That's exactly right. But
R.I.P. Steve Smashmouth.
Yeah, doing better, right? Your father, not Steve Smashmouth.
No.
Doing better.
Yeah, he can sit at the edge of the bed and not pass out, so small victories.
Well, that's good. Hopefully there's a full recovery, and hopefully next show I'll ask you a really fun question, or maybe next show I can ask you, how are you again?
Yeah, and I'll just be like, hey, good.
Everything is good. I haven't had any problems in the last 2 weeks.
I haven't been in an ambulance. I got to ride in the passenger seat of the ambulance this time. I was really hoping they'd let me run the siren.
But they didn't.
No.
Did they have the siren on?
No, it wasn't like high profile enough or whatever. An ambulance with the siren on did pass us at one point, and the driver looked at the other ambulance and went, "What's up, boys?"
Oh, all right. I like that you described it's not high profile enough, as if they only turn the siren on when there's famous people inside. Oh, we got a celebrity. Turn on the siren. That would probably be the opposite of what they would want to do.
Don't you know who this is? It's Usher.
Wee, wee, wee. All right. Well, we're here once again to talk some Joshi wrestling, and this time we're going to talk some American Joshi wrestling, as we have another U.S. show for Tokyo Joshi. But before we get to that, we got to get to the plugs. Of course, follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at ComicGeekKelly. You can follow me at TameAimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get into it. We are going to be talking about Tokyo Joshi and Defy's joint show, Bright Eyes, from November 9th at Washington Hall here in the good old United States of America. Kelly, what'd you think about this show?
It was a very weird show. It felt like a WrestleMania weekend show.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like it really kind of just felt like it. Nothing really felt consequential at all. But like it was kind of just a fun, easy watch for the most part.
I thought it was very average. I sort of ended it being like, light shrug.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any match that blew me away. Like if you hadn't watched and you're like, hey, should I make time for this? I would probably just say no.
I feel like if I had paid like $20 for this show, I would be mad.
Yeah, I could see that. But it was available on Triller Plus presented by Fight TV.
Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
Something like that. With a whole lot of ads for Wrestle Universe.
Yeah, that was very good. That actually was one of my first notes on the first match, which we'll get to in a second. But really pushing... pushing a lot of things, pushing, you know, Defy's other shows, Progress shows, Wrestle Universe, all kinds of things. So, I mean, I guess that's good. I guess that's sort of what you want to do. You know, if someone's checking out the product.
Yeah.
So, but let's get right into it with the first match. It was a tag team match. The former champions, Daisy Monkey, Arisa Endo and Suzume defeated Amira and Rika Tatsumi in 10 minutes and 17 seconds. Really got a laugh out of the ring announcer screwing up the very first intros.
Yeah.
Introduced Endo and then accidentally Rika Tatsumi. I think that was the order of it. But caught on very quickly and fixed it, but did make me laugh. I did notice this was when I noticed the graph. They had all the ads and things. I liked the rolling thing in the corner of TJPW shows.
That was cool. Yeah, I liked that.
I was like, oh, that was cool. They had sort of the graphic when they said, oh, historic Washington Hall that would sort of pop up on screen. I was like, oh, these are nice graphics. You know, it's sort of a low bar with independent shows, but I was like, oh, this looks pretty nice. I didn't think the lighting in the venue was super great, but at least on the screen looked good. As for the match, thought it was a solid start to the show. It ended up being one of my favorite matches of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy Monkey was good. Rika, of course, was good. And I enjoyed Amira. Looked her up. I think she started wrestling in 2022. So still relatively new to wrestling, but I thought she was really solid, and I would not be opposed to seeing her more in Tokyo Joshi. So I went 3.5 stars. I thought it was solid.
Nice. I was just below you. I was at 3.25. I was like kind of shocked at how super over Daisy Monkey was with the fans. Like they were the clear favorites here. But yeah, fun opener. I thought Amira looked good in her role, even though it was clearly like she was the pin eater. But yeah, solid match. They did, on commentary, keep calling her Suzume over and over and over.
Well, I mean, I'll just say all night, like the ring announcements, the whole thing, it was just sort of like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Like, not things that were wrong, but things that you're like, it is wrong, but it's not like, it's not calling someone the wrong name.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this is the next match, but like Wakana came out and they were like, Wakana, you, it was like, you, Hara.
Yeah.
And I was like, not quite.
It really, like, I said this in our private chat where it just kind of felt like there wasn't much familiarity with the product from the commentary team.
Well, I'll say that comparatively for some of the other U.S. shows they've done, I thought it was better than those shows. Because those shows, it was like they clearly had never even seen anyone.
Yeah.
It felt at least here like they knew who people were on like a base level. You know, there was the weird thing with Mizuki where later in the show, where Rich was like, why is she called Popping Sugar Rabbit? And it was clear that there was no answer coming. So it was sort of like, well, you know, Yuka Sakazaki, they're in a tag team. And then they just sort of moved on.
That was the moment when I messaged you that Veda Scott has the same level of knowledge that Kevin Gill did when they were doing the Freedoms shows for GCW.
But I was like, they did that to themselves. Like, why did you ask that, you know?
Yeah.
That's something you only ask if you're like, the other person's like, I know this, like, ask me about this during the match. Like, that was really like leaving...
Just setting her up to fail.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Suzumi.
Yeah.
It was just like, it felt like they saw Azumi and they're like, yep, that's the same person. With a "suh" in front of it.
Yeah. I mean, my bar is so low that I'm like, hey, these people got first names because I'm so used to every company on earth being like, yeah. Oh, you have two names? Okay, your name is now Endo, and no one will ever say your first name.
Yeah, Endo and Suzumi versus Amira and Tatsumi. And
Tatsumi. Oh, that has a good ring to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I thought a good... I didn't know at the time. And didn't this happen on one of the WrestleMania weekend shows, like the GCW show
or
something?
I think it did, yeah.
Where they came out and they were in the opener and I was like, this is good. And then the rest of the show was not as good as the first match. And it was Daisy Monkey, I think. Wasn't it?
I think so.
So maybe they're just the hot opener and they got to figure out someone to have a hot middle and a hot end, I guess.
Yeah. They just have Daisy Monkey do a gauntlet through the entire roster.
The next match was our first singles match, Yuki Kamifuku defeating Wakano Uehara in 7 minutes and 21 seconds. Kelly, what was your thoughts on this match?
I was kind of impressed with this match because it seemed to me that they shifted gears where I think it was originally going to be a more even match. And then they realized that everyone was there to see Kamiyu beat the shit out of someone. And they were just like, okay, let's just make this a squash with some hope spots, and that's it. Because it really, like, it did feel like the crowd had no real interest in Wakana and was just like, yeah, Kamiyu beat the shit out of her.
I thought it was, I mean, when it ended, I was like, yeah, that was just a shine match for Yuki. Which made sense to me because it feels like she's at the point now where probably it's been long enough since she held the title that they could probably move her back up again.
Yeah.
And do something with her. And Wakana is, you know, still very young. So it was sort of, I wasn't surprised to see her lose. I mean, my biggest takeaway was Wakana is still good, but I think she's getting to the point now where she's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the next generation tournament, which is going to end in the next 2 weeks. And I guess it will change. Like, if she wins it, if Wakana wins the next generation tournament again, it feels like then she's going to need to be pushed because it's like, well, clearly she's so much better than all these other people if she can win this tournament two times.
Yeah, because then you're the super rookie or whatever.
But it feels like now where... she sort of has the base stuff of the in-ring work. And now it's like, well, if that push is coming, you like, we need another step up.
Yeah. She has moments where she looks really good. Like the snap suplex she did on Kamiyu in this match looked tremendous. So I think it's coming. I think it's a little slower than I would like, but I do see the improvement in her.
Well, yeah, I think it just comes down to the fact that they're like, she's really good. Like, she won this tournament. She might win it again. Like, that's something where I'm like, oh, this person has got to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I am so far ahead of all these other people that to me, it's like, okay, so you're now competing on the level of who, whatever the next step would, you know, mid card.
Yeah.
Whatever that would be, you know, not bad, but I just think now it's like, okay, you've sort of been in this area in terms of skill for a while, and I'd like to see it move to the next space.
No, that's totally understandable.
The next match was another singles match. The legend, Stardom legend, Rebel Kell, returning to a show that I am watching to defeat Moka Miyamoto in 5 minutes and 43 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts?
What a strange match. It was just so awkward, but it wasn't bad. They did some fun spots. I enjoyed the dive to the outside because immediately I looked at Suzume's face after catching her, and the look on her face was like, God damn it, why'd I have to take this bump? Because like her back went straight into the seat of a chair. So that was funny. But other than that, it was a pretty forgettable match. I will say, this had the chance to be very bad, and it was not. So I would consider that a win.
Yeah, I mainly was just reminded, as I said, I think maybe I've seen one or two Rebel Kell matches since she was last in Stardom. And just a good reminder of, I hate to put it this way because it's going to sound more insulting than I mean it to, just a bizarre wrestler to me.
She's very much Saki Akai before she got good.
Yeah, she's like got a good look. You know, obviously she's 6 feet tall, so she's a lot taller than a lot of other people. But it's like she's still very awkward in ring a lot of times. Where I'm like, okay, you were awkward. God, how long ago was she in Stardom? 6 years ago or something?
Yeah.
And oh, you're still sort of awkward in a lot of ways. Like, not bad, but I was just sort of like, okay.
It's baby giraffe syndrome.
Yeah, and I wrote match was fine, question mark.
Yeah.
Which I think lines up with what you said, where it was like, yeah, it wasn't terrible. I was thrown off by Rebel Kell winning because I'm like, is she coming to Tokyo Joshi?
That's what it felt like.
I did laugh on commentary when they were like, Rebel Kell, a traveled wrestler. She's been to Japan. Dot, 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 dot. I was like, oh, where in Japan? Just a fine match. This sort of hit the point of the show. It wasn't that long, but it was just sort of like, I think this is sort of what sapped a lot of my interest in the show, because there was a bunch of matches in a row where I was like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I thought the top of the card actually was fairly solid, but yeah. Welcome back, Rebel Kell. Welcome back to my life. And then we had our third and final singles match, Mizuki, the popping sugar rabbit, of course.
What does that mean?
Defeating Liza Hall in 11 minutes and 5 seconds. Kelly, I'm very interested to hear what you thought about this match. I had never seen Liza Hall.
I hadn't either. I actually liked this quite a bit. I thought it was the best worked match up to this point. Liza Hall impressed me. They kind of compared her to Zack Sabre Jr., and I could see that. She has some of that influence. She felt more closer to a Tim Thatcher to me, but like good Tim Thatcher, not US Indies Tim Thatcher. So I hope she gets some Japanese bookings out of this, because it was a fun match, and I thought she and Mizuki had good chemistry. I went 3¾ on this one.
Well, here we've hit a disagreement point, Kelly. Mm. We don't often hit a disagreement point. I was not into Liza Hall.
All right.
I thought her submission stuff was good.
Did she remind you of American Tim Thatcher?
No, because really the biggest thing was, well, first of all, she was like announcing the match. There was like 6 or 7 times when I blatantly saw her be like, next thing is this.
I missed that.
Okay. I liked her submission stuff, but I thought her general offense didn't look all that good. So it was sort of like waiting to be in another submission hold because the rest of it was sort of like very light strikes. So it was hard because when she was on offense and not in a submission, I wasn't all that interested in the match.
Okay.
It was like, yeah, I like the submission. I like the, you know, hand finger manipulation stuff. But it was just like the strikes were fine. And it felt like a match where Mizuki was like, oh, yeah, we're in the middle of the card and it doesn't really matter. So I'll just sort of do whatever. So I left underwhelmed was my note that I made because I was looking, you know, a Mizuki singles match. You know, I was looking for, they were talking about she's the Rain City Stretcher. Which is a fun nickname, but I, as I said, was underwhelmed by the whole thing.
Understandable.
The semi-main event of the show was Yuki Aino and Zara Zocker defeating Miyu Watanabe and Shoko Nakajima in 16 minutes and 57 seconds, a preview of the upcoming Zara Zocker Miyu Watanabe title match. Zara Zocker pinning Miyu Watanabe, unsaid by commentary, but defeating Miyu Watanabe for the second time now, which seems to give away that Miyu's retaining the title.
Yeah.
Not that that was in any sort of doubt, but
especially now
losing twice, I can't imagine they're going to defeat Miyu three times to one person. That seems like something you shouldn't do. Have to say right off the bat, before the match started, really hate people being announced as WWE ID prospects.
Yeah, that's not great.
That sucked. And I didn't like that.
Nope.
I really liked this match. I thought it was really good. I thought actually Shoko looked really good in this match. I know that wasn't really the goal of it. But I thought she looked great. They really delayed it because it was an almost 17 minute match. And I feel like this didn't really happen in any meaningful way until like maybe 13 minutes in, but the Miyu Zara Zocker interactions. But once they got there, I was sort of like, oh yeah, this final sequence is hyping me up for the singles match.
Yeah.
Zocker did that back flipping, lariat dodge, I think it was, which I don't know that she had done that before.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing that.
But I was like, oh, that's pretty good, and I think that their match should be good. And I thought probably this was my favorite match on the show.
Yes,
I went 3.5 stars. But yeah, a fun match for good wrestlers. I've really liked Zara's stuff in Tokyo Joshi, and this sort of continues it. And it also really felt like the one match that had something behind it with the, you know, previewing the title match. So it felt like there was something to latch on to and not just, oh, hey, here's four people. Isn't it interesting seeing them interact, which, you know, is fine, but whatever. What'd you think?
I would definitely agree this was the best match of the show. I thought all the Miyu and Zara Zocker interactions were great. I thought Yuki Aino was great in this match. She's been, again, she found her calling as like Hoss tag partner, like, and just she needed that boost from teaming with Aniki, and here we are. And it's a shame that she and Zara Zocker probably won't get any kind of tag run.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. They talked at the end of the match. They were like, "Oh, Yuki and Zara could be in the tag hunt," and I'm like, "I don't know that that's
I don't think so."
But an interesting idea.
I think we see Zara Zocker exactly one more time in Tokyo Joshi.
I think that you may be correct on that. So we'll see. But excited for the match, which is coming up very soon. And a good match here.
Mm-hmm.
The main event was for the Princess Tag Team titles. The champions, 1-2-1 Million, Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita, defeating Nicole Matthews and Vert Vixen in 24 minutes and 1 second. Really defined a lot of things. Maki coming out and in many ways feeling like she half-assed it with that song.
Yes.
Either that or she was like out of breath. I couldn't tell, but I was like, oh, you're not singing any of this. It was like, everyone sing along with me. Got to hear someone in the crowd scream, "Get the fuck out of the way." which is something that you don't hear at every Tokyo Joshi show, which made me laugh. Other than that, this match was fine. It was sort of like the show in that I thought it was pretty average, and I thought this match was too long.
Oh, God, yes. It never ended.
I was like, wow, this is going really, really long, and it's only 24 minutes, but I feel like most main events, I don't have any empirical data to back this up, but are like 17 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Like, is that the right?
That feels right to me. Like, the previous match was the kind of perfect length.
Yeah. It just felt long. There was sort of the story of Nicole Matthews and Vert Vixen not getting along, which I guess is a Defy storyline or something. But I don't know. It just felt very much like, oh, here's Maki and Miyu in America.
Yeah.
Doing an American match where it's just sort of not
good.
not what I want to see.
This was my least favorite match of the show by far.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
By far. Just, it never ended.
Yeah. And it was, yeah. And like I said, it was just sort of middle of the road work, you know, like the rebound kick that Miyu did and like hit Vert Vixen in like the leg,
mm-hmm.
which did make me laugh. But yeah, it was just very much felt like, oh, we're here to do some character work for a very long time.
It was very much a GCW match.
Yeah. You know, I just wish that, you know, and I don't know that this will ever happen again, because I should say after the show, Tokyo Joshi, everyone came in the ring and they did announce that they are going to have a show at WrestleMania weekend in 2025 as part of the collective, I believe. I don't know what kind of show it will be.
I'd presume a wrestling show.
Kelly. How dare you? But hold on. I'm trying to. But like, is it going to be a joint show? Yeah, because Dramatic DDT says we'll be in Las Vegas with the collective on April 18, 2025. They will be at the Pearl Theater in Palms Casino Resort. Now, it doesn't say, like, if they do another show and it's just a Tokyo Joshi show, I'm like, okay, that could be fun. I don't want another like GCW.
No, I don't show. Need to see Dark Sheik versus literally anyone on the roster.
Heel Alley Catch versus Moka Miyamoto. But it was one of those things where I said, you know, the first show they did in the States was like really good, but that was a Tokyo Joshi show. I think they had like one or two non-roster members on that. Like, I think Masha was on it.
Yeah.
And maybe...
But at the time, she was, like, working with them. So yeah. It's like, it's fine.
But it's just one of those things where now, this is three shows now since then that they've done. And I'm like, I just want a main event that's, like...
Good.
Daisy Monkey versus Miyu and Shoko.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, that would be great. Like, it doesn't need to be for a title. I don't really care about that. But it's like, I just want to see a good match.
Yeah.
And it felt like this show had some solid stuff, but there was nothing. Like I said at the beginning, if someone asked, hey, what should I watch from the show? I'd be like, just skip the show.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think there's anything you need to go out of your way to see.
Like maybe the semi-main, because it would sort of get you in the mindset for the title match. But mm-hmm. even that is sort of like, yeah. So,
yeah, like if I were to recommend the show, I would say turn it off before the main.
But we will see. I mean, I'm glad to hear that they keep coming back. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good that they're having successful shows here.
They should run a show in New York.
Yeah.
So that I can attend, please.
Do it next time I'm in New York.
Do it at the convention.
Yeah. Announce the Tokyo Joshi toy line.
But yeah, hopefully the next American show will be better.
Hopefully.
Hey, what's up? It's Wilmer Valderrama. You know, a lot of us don't think twice about our tech. Millions of Americans struggle to connect to today's digital world. And that's why this story really hits home for me. I mean, I start thinking about my upbringing and myself growing up in a world where, you know, you needed every possible tool or help you could get to actually allow you and afford you a bigger dream. That's why I love what AT&T's been doing. They're doing something amazing. I mean, they've launched an effort to equip 20,000 students with laptops, backpacks, and school supplies. Seattle, for example, they provided 250 laptops and backpacks to kids who really needed them. Now, you might think like, okay, 250 kids, that's nice, you know, but stop to think for a second, like the impact of what this could do for a community. Imagine, you know, 250 kids getting that kind of help. It's huge. It's not just happening in Seattle, right? AT&T is doing it all over the country. I'm just proud that AT&T is helping connect the next generation to a brighter future, and that's pretty special.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So that was Tokyo Joshi Defy Bright Eyes. What else has been going on in the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling? Well, Stardom is continuing their tag league. The current standings are in the Red Goddess block, FWC. Hazuki and Koguma at the top with 8 points, followed directly behind by Natsuka Tora and Ruaka, and Micah and Hanako with 6. Siri and Saki Kashima with 4. Also, Mayu Iwatani and Momo Kogo with 4. Azumi and Miyu Amasaki with 2, along with Tom Nakano and Karara Sayaka. Psy Queen, Konami, and Saya Kamatani with 2, and Wingori down at 1 point in last place. At the Blue Goddess block restart, Natsupoi and Sierra Yano with 9. Devil Princess, Rina and Azusa Inaba with 6. Mei Sierra and Kohaku with 5. Waka Tsukiyama and Rion with 4. Starlight Kid and Suzu Suzuki with 2. Also with 2, Yuna Mizumori and Aya Sakura. Tomoka Inaba and Rana Yagami and Hina and Lady C and Momo Watanabe and Tekla. So lots of people there with 2. But we will see how that ends up. In Marigold on the 2nd, Natsumi Shozuki successfully retaining her Superfly title against Misa Matsui. Tokyo Joshi also had a show on November 3rd. That was the show where Wakano Uehara defeated Chika Nanase in the Next Generation Tournament to make it through to the semifinals, which will be coming up soon. Sendai Girls had their big show in Niigata on the 9th. Kelly is here to talk about it.
I watched it. I didn't watch the whole show because time was limited because of things. So I sadly missed the Super Susanongo Machine versus Shuji Ishikawa match. If I should go back and watch it, please let me know. In the opener, you had the junior title on the line. Chi-Chi defeated Yuna to win the belt. Solid match. I think, you know, both still fairly inexperienced wrestlers, but I enjoyed it well enough. You had a tag match with Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase defeating Sari and Yurika Oka. This rocked. Yurika Oko was the star of the match for me, and it was kind of just fun watching her in her insane gear surrounded by these other three that are all just kind of like red. So it's just like three red gears at hers that just says banana on the back for whatever reason. But yeah, good match. I thought Miki Iwata kind of had an off night, but she brought it back around by the end of the match. So good time with this one. I went 3.25. In the semi-main event, you had Vaney and Lena Cross winning the tag titles from Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu. Someone finally put a belt on Vaney. Hell yeah. Loved the interactions between Hashimoto and Vaney, like just throwing her around as you would expect Chihiro Hashimoto to do. Lena Cross, I think this is the first time I've seen her. I could be wrong. Maybe I've seen her in the past, but I thought she was really good here. Kind of used her size to combat the strength of Hashimoto and Yu, and it was just shy of being a notebook match for me. I went 3.25 on this one, or 3.75 on this one as well. After the match, Aniki and Minami came out and acted like complete maniacs and challenged Vaney and Lena Cross to a title match, so that'll be coming up soon. Then in the main event, we had Meiko Satomura defeating Sari Ano. Sari is so goddamn good in this match, and she is just tremendous at taking a beating and keeps coming back from it. The sad part of this match is that it seems like Mako's kind of washed, and it's probably a good thing that she's wrapping her career up, because I thought she was kind of bad here to the point where she missed her finisher twice, and then they're like fuck it, going for the pin now. Like I wish Stardom had insisted on Sari winning. But yeah, it was a cooler match in theory than in practice. I ended up going 3.5. There was still some good stuff, but didn't reach the heights that I wanted it to at all.
So that is Sendai Girls in Ice Ribbon. I only wrote depression in the notes. A number of other wrestlers since the last time we talked announcing they are leaving, so we'll frankly see what happens. I don't know, 2025 will be interesting, or maybe it won't be interesting because it'll be closed. We'll see. Big result in Diana, Ayame Sasamura defeating Mika Ozaki to win the Diana title, and probably even bigger results, Wave had a Korakuen Hall show on November 4th. Mika Ozaki and Tay Hanma defeated Risa, Sarah, and Saki to win the tag titles. But the big moment of the show, Saya Kamatani is the new Regina DeWave champion, defeating Yuki Miyazaki. Wave really going for it with these Regina DeWave champions. They had Shida for a while, which didn't seem to have done much of anything. But we'll see if Saya Kamatani and her insane, weird energy will draw some fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth a shot.
I mean, you might as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not opposed. It's just, you know, it's Saya Kamatani.
Yeah.
So that is everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks. We have an update, of course, in the Joshi Fantasy League standings. Kelly, congrats. That Venny title victory gets you 10 points.
Hell yeah.
Unfortunately, your other four members only got you a combined 6 points.
Oh.
So, Rina Yamashita not even wrestling in the last 2 weeks.
What the fuck?
So, Kelly at 428 points. Liam now up at 566 points. But yours truly still in the lead, 641 points, even though you losing her tag titles in Sendai. But we're getting pretty close to the end of the year, and I'm starting to feel a little bit comfortable here. Have about an 80-point lead.
So. Yeah, I think you're all right.
So you never know. We'll see what happens, but feeling
yeah, Unagi
good.
Might win the Iron Man title again 10 times.
Yeah, 10 times. Yeah, exactly. So that is the Joshi Fantasy League standings. What is coming up in the next 2 weeks? We'll start them, of course, continuing the tag league, but they have two other shows, New Blood West number 2, will be happening on November 16th. There will be a debut of a new rookie on that show, a mystery rookie. And the main event of that show will see Rina and Azusa Inaba defend the New Blood tag titles against Lady C and Rana Yagami. But the big show in the next 2 weeks for Stardom is Historic Crossover 2. And Kelly, listen to this crossover match. Hanako and Aya Sakura versus Sayaka Karara and Rana Yagami.
Wow, a match that couldn't happen anywhere else.
Well, you like that one. How about this one? Tom Nakano and Sayori Ino versus Shuri and Tomoka Inaba.
Incredible.
Think about that crossover. That might be the best match on the show.
Yeah.
In all honesty, but... and then, of course, Mei Sierra, Azumi, and Miyu Amasaki taking on Rina, Ruaka, and Konami. For those excited to see Stardom mix it up with New Japan, here's a bunch of shows.
A bunch of matches
where they don't.
A main event in any arena.
Jeff Cobb, Francisco Akira, and Callum Newman will face off against Tiger Mask, Bolton Oleg, and Toriano.
Whoa.
Get ready. Then we get to the actual part of the show. Hanan and Saya Iida will team with Hiroshi Tanahashi and Ryusuke Taguchi to take on Saya Kamitani, Natsuka Tora, Drilla Maloney, and Gabe Kidd in what may be the most annoying team in all of pro wrestling.
I truly cannot wait to hear the names that Gabe Kidd calls them. He's going to get canceled so fast. It's going to be hilarious. Also, why isn't Saya Iida on the same team as like Togi Makabe? You got to team those two together.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, like I just swap out Taguchi. Come on. Or Tanahashi. Swap out Tanahashi.
Is Saya Iida the best wrestler in this match?
Yes.
Because we know who it's not. Although I have seen very little of Drilla Maloney.
He's good. I like him. Yeah.
Then we have the first of two title matches on the show. This for the King of Pro Wrestling title. It would be Great Okan defending against Suzu Suzuki in a hardcore match with the stipulation that Great Okan has to shave his hair and beard. If Suzu loses, there's seemingly no penalty, except you don't win the title.
This could be good, actually.
Well, it's hardcore, so at least it's in Suzu's wheelhouse.
Let Suzu go nuts. Bring out the tubes.
Where are they? Where's the show?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what everyone's rules are.
Ask forgiveness, not permission, Suzu.
Then we have Taichi teaming with Natsupoi to take on Tekla and Clark Connors.
A match that actually has some build.
Yeah. And should be fairly interesting.
Yeah.
Mayu Iwatani will defend the IWGP women's title against Momo Watanabe in the other of the two title matches. I just feel like Momo challenges for this title all the time. Am I thinking of something else?
I don't know. Maybe
it just feels like she's gotten so many. Well,
didn't she just challenge Mercedes for her belt?
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It just feels like she's constantly challenging now and not winning.
Yeah.
And then the main event, Zack Sabre Jr. will team with Micah to face off against El Desperado and Starlight Kid. Kelly, did you see the picture of El Desperado sitting next to Starlight Kid that they put out this week?
I did not.
He looks gigantic next to her.
And I
believe he's like 5'9".
Yeah, she's so small.
Yeah, she is 4'11", so she's very tiny.
This match should rule. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, I actually think that the top three, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish the rest of the card wasn't mostly non-cross. Like, if you're going to do crossover, every match has to be crossover.
Exactly.
Unless you do, like, one match at the beginning that's, like, a rookie match or something.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just think, why do I want to watch Hanako and Aya Sakura face off against Sayaka Carrara and Ronnie? Like, I can see that on any
Stardom show
on Earth. So, but that, the big Stardom show coming up. Seedling has a show on the 20th of November, but I don't believe they've announced anything for that show yet. Oz has a show on the 24th, but we're still pretty far out from that. Tokyo Joshi has two bigger shows coming up. On the 16th is The Mountaintop. That will see that Princess of Princess title match, Miyu Watanabe against Zara Zocker. And then it will have...
WWE ID prospect Zara Zocker?
Yes. And then it will have...
William Regal himself saw her and was like, oh yes, we must sign her.
Maybe he'll do special ring introductions for the
match.
Would
you like to see my lizards?
Wow.
He gave me a flesh-eating bacteria once.
He's got a William Regal. He's got a Triple H. What doesn't he have?
Look here, sunshine.
Anyway.
Boy, I wish I could have smooched Excalibur.
The Next Generation Tournament semifinals will also be happening on that show. It will be Toga and Kira Summer facing off and Wakana Uehara facing off against Haru Kazushiro. Kelly, are we expecting Wakana and Toga again?
I'm hoping that Haru pulls the upset.
Interesting. I was just wondering if they do Wakana and Toga again and Toga wins this time.
That I could see that. I think Toga ends up winning.
Yeah, that would probably be my bet as well. And then, of course, Shaza McKenzie appearing on the show. Why is she appearing on the show? Because on the 22nd, she will be challenging Yuki Arai for the International Princess title.
Oh, thank you.
And that will also have the finals of the Next Generation Tournament. So the two winners will face off on that show.
Nope, you keep that. Don't need that.
and we'll move right along.
Is she going to be a WWE ID prospect? That would be cool.
Marigold has a show at Corican Hall on the 14th. The card is as follows. Rhea Seto will face off against Manami Yuki. Misa Matsui and Komomo Minami will take on Bozilla and Myla Grace. Hummingbird, recovered from her injuries, will take on Naho Yamada. Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki will face off against Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki. Sari will go one-on-one with Nao Ishikawa. And then the two title matches will be the Twin Star titles. Mirai Saku will defend against Utami and Koke, and then the United National title will see the champion Miku Aono defend against Natsumi Shozuki. So a pretty solid solid top two, I'll say. Both of those should be good matches.
I think Kazuna Tanaka and Yuzuki versus Chiaki and Nozaki could be a sleeper good match.
Yeah. Then Sendai Girls has a Korakuen Hall show on the 17th. It will be main evented by Mika Iwata defending the Sendai Girls title against Dash Chizako. A few days later on the 27th, Iwata will take on Suri.
Hell yeah.
That should be a good match. And then I also discovered this, which I'm going to just read verbatim from the website. On the 24th of November, to commemorate the opening of the newly renovated Michinoku Tourist Information Center, located on the first floor of the Sendai Airport near domestic arrivals, which operates the center, will be hosting a free event, Airport Pro Wrestling, inviting Sendai Girls Pro Wrestling. The program will be packed with content from matches in a ring built on the airport floor to a talk show with Mako Satomura and the highly popular children's pro wrestling class. Goods exclusive to this event will also be on sale. Supposedly this is streaming free or something. They'll also be doing donations to support disaster-stricken areas. Imagine going to the airport and seeing wrestling.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm fascinated what is meant by in a ring built on the airport floor. Does that mean they're just going to bring a ring to the airport?
I would guess, yeah.
They're going to build it out of a hull of an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's just going to be like them working on mats like it's a Choco Pro show.
Yeah. They're not going to wander out onto the tarmac as planes are taking off and landing.
Fighting their way through security.
So I found that interesting, and so I included it here.
If every airport I went to had a wrestling show happening at any given time, I would be thrilled. That sounds great.
But that is everything in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. So we will have a lot to cover next episode. We'll be talking historic crossover. We'll be talking some Tokyo Joshi, probably Marigold, Corkin Hall, and we'll probably be talking some airport pro wrestling. So lots to talk about. But before we leave this episode, of course, it's time for Kelly's Corner.
All right. I have become obsessed with the Pokemon TCG Pocket app. So if you are playing, hit me up and we can be friends.
This is something different than Pokemon Go?
Correct. This is the card game.
Ah, I see. Well, how do they find you?
I think they need a code that is very long. So just find me on Twitter. Find me on Twitter or like the Discord and just ask and I'll send you the code.
All right. So find Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly on Twitter and ask him for a code and he will provide that code.
Yep. And then we can be friends.
Well, that is all for us for this week's episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So for Kelly, my name is Taylor, and we will talk to you again in 2 weeks' time. Farewell.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.